Proverbs, if you will. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. And let's go to verse number 8. And tonight I'm going to speak about soul food in every way imaginable. I'm going to speak about soul food, all right? Proverbs 19:8. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's word. Up, down, up, down, up, down. You guys are like, just let me sit. I want to read this verse together. Originally, when I opened this passage of Scripture, I read it, and then I read the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse, and I thought, wow, Lord, you're going to help us to, we're going to cover some ground. We're going to get four verses. I don't think I've ever done four verses. And I got a little excited, and I started meditating on it, praying about it, and I put it down and set it away, did some other work, and I came back. And today, while I was praying and just speaking to the Lord, not even about this, I really just couldn't get past this one verse. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll throw all that I have out the window and I'll just stick with this one verse. And I had a good time with the Lord. And so he'd speak and I'd write a little and I'd pray and speak back and he'd speak back and I'd write a little and I'd go back to this and I just had a good time. So, I figured out I like soul food. So, we're going to talk about it tonight. The Bible says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Can we read that out loud together now that we know that the King James Bible is the preserved word of God? Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Begin. He that getteth wisdom loveth
his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good.
And let's pray again. Father, I sure thank you for the message and had such a good time with you today. And I pray, Lord, that every day we'd have a good time with Jesus. I pray that as we open the Word of God tonight, that you would help us to have hearts of understanding. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be emptied and clean so that I could be filled. Lord, I pray that you just use me as your mouthpiece tonight and preach through me your message. And Lord, help me not to say anything that would be a hindrance to your sweet spirit in this place. Rather, help me to be obedient. Help me to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say for your glory and for your honor. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for standing again. You may be seated. Soul food is a variety of cuisine popular in the southern portion of the United States and often with an African-American culture. Though the term soul food became popular in the 1960s, its roots go all the way back to the days of slavery in America when the slave owners would only give leftover meat portions or cast asides to or throw away parts of animals to the enslaved for meals. Originally, the enslaved's meals consisted of things like the tops of turnips or beets and oftentimes dandelions. Eventually, these enslaved Africans were seen and experienced cooking with collard greens, mustard greens, kale, or pokeweed. Eventually, then they turned into recipes which would include oxtail. Some of you have never had a ham hock in your life. I was raised on ham hock. Pork jowls, tripe, pig ears, and even pig intestines. They were I'm told at some point they were even a little upset that they could not get sheep intestines, and so they had to substitute things for that. Needless to say, it was from the early years, from these early years of surviving that soul food was born and is responsible for some of our favorite foods. And we have some of the pictures here of some soul food. Fried chicken is included. By the way, Lily Mays is a soul food place, I'm told. Right there by, isn't it over there by where you're at, right? Or by Earthquake Stadium somewhere? Over there, Lily Mays is a soul food place that Siri said he had in San Jose. Go to the next slide for me. That's some good stuff right there. Everybody knows what that is. Let's go to the next one. And collard greens. By the way, I'm not a collard green fan. Anything green I'm really not a fan of, but especially collard greens. My mom used to eat, and I would walk in and know that collard greens were cooking, and I would almost run straight to the toilet because I'd throw up. I just hated them. How many like collard greens in here? My mother loves collard greens. I don't like them. And it did give us one of our favorite foods of all time. How many could give me an amen for the next slide? How many like hush puppies? Yes. Everybody likes hush puppies. Am I right? Is anybody not like hush puppies? Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll pray that you get saved tonight. We'll just ask the Lord to help you in your heart. Now look, it's interesting. Some would classify, oh, put the hush puppies back up there, Mitchell. Be like going into the spiritual stuff yet. We got to talk about hush puppies. Now when you look at that, doesn't that just make you feel good?
Yeah.
About like 9 or 10 of them. make you feel good? Some would classify food like this, or soul food, as what they would call comfort food. And it is called such because they would say speaks to the soul. It goes down deep into your soul. But did you know that God is the only one who can truly speak to your soul? He's the only one that can truly touch your soul. And He alone provided us with real, true soul food. So when you hear me say, I really love soul food, I'm not necessarily speaking of collard greens, although I would establish that I love macaroni and cheese and hush puppies. Anything fried, I think I love. But God is the one that's provided real soul food. Now, wisdom comes from God. How many believe that? We've been studying this book for almost 5 years. Wisdom comes from God. Chapter 2 of this book says it comes directly from the mouth of God. Wisdom comes from God and is God's food for the soul. When God saved you, you became alive in Christ. A spiritually alive is what we say. Your soul, that is your spiritual life, needs to be nourished and only truly thrives on the best of the best, not leftovers, not tossed aside, not things that are no good to be eaten. It thrives on the best of the best. And the only thing I know that's the best of the best is the very Word of God that we talked about on Sunday night. The Word of God is a necessary staple for our soul. Our soul's food consists of the Bible in many forms. When it's read, when it's taught, when it's preached, but also when it's lived by living examples. The Apostle Paul said, those things which thou hast both seen and heard and seen in me, do. The example is a living Word of God. It also comes cooked in different forms. You get it sometimes in the way of rebuke. Sometimes you get it in the way of reproof, according to the Word of God. Sometimes you get it in the way of exhortation. Sometimes it's in the form of comfort. Other times you may come in or you may open the Word of God on a given time of day and you get it by way of admonition and you feel the Holy Spirit pressing on you. Other times you'll feel it straight up chastening you. Because whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. But regardless of how it is served, it is necessary for the nourishing of our life in Jesus Christ. It's necessary. Jeremiah said that thy words were found and I did eat them and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward and thy expectation shall not be cut off. You see, any way you look at it, the Bible is going to show you that, first of all, you need it. Your soul needs it. Needs it on a very regular basis. I would say on a daily basis. And I think if you'll just allow me for a few minutes tonight to talk to you about real soul food, I'll hopefully be able to really give the sense not only of what this verse has to do with your heart, but what you're doing with the Word of God on a daily basis. So I want you to take your outlines, and I want to briefly give you three quick observations. First of all, I see in this text the desire for the eternal. The desire for the eternal. Now look, the fact of the matter is, you're not going to get the wisdom of God until you go get it. Until you really want it. God doesn't give it to you by osmosis. Is everybody listening tonight? You don't get to just put your head on the Bible or say, well, I've read my Bible through two or three times. I've gone to Sunday school and church for the last 20 years. I'm good. God, I'm good. I don't need it. I'm stuffed up to here. I can't eat anymore. I don't need any more. That's not how it works for the spiritual life. That may work on Thanksgiving Day, but it doesn't work every day for the Christian. It requires it on a daily basis, a desire for the eternal. We love to eat because we love ourselves. We love to eat because we love ourselves. Today, I went to Red Robin and I had one of their new burgers, and wow, it was really good. Grilled onions, and they called it candied bacon and barbecued sauce, and they had all kinds of other stuff on there, and it was amazing. It was wonderful. Got it all over me, and had some French fries, and had bottomless lemonade, and I rolled out of there. It was really, really good. We love to eat. We Americans have an infatuation with food, especially good food or convenient food. But think about it. We love to eat because we really love ourselves. We really love the way it makes us feel, don't we? We eat certain foods. We like the way it makes us feel. Here the Lord speaks to desiring something greater than the physical. Notice what our text says. It says in Proverbs 19:8, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul." You immediately know as you read the first half of the verse that he's not talking about anything temporal. He's talking about everything spiritual. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:15, I think you have it in your notes, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge." That word getteth is the same word getteth here. It means to acquire. It means to purchase if necessary, whatever it takes to actually obtain. And then notice, "And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." So it's one thing to love the physical side of your life. It's quite another thing to love the spiritual side of your life. Would you agree? Matthew Henry said, "No man ever hated his own flesh, but loves that. Yet many are wanting in love to their own souls." That is, they lack it. For only those love their souls and consequently love themselves. Only those that love their souls consequently love themselves aright and get wisdom. If you really love yourself, then you'll love the eternal side of your life. That's what he's saying. The word wisdom here refers to the wisdom or the understanding in the heart, in the soul, the part of God's truth that's hidden in the inner man. The word there, wisdom, is translated some 500 times. That Hebrew word, leth, is translated 500 times as heart, some 30 times as mind. It's talking about the deep-seated side of your soul. It's talking about the part that you don't feed any other way but through the spiritual food that God gives you. So when you think of the desire for the eternal and you talk about getting the wisdom, I want you to see that feeding the soul is very similar to feeding the body. First of all, you have to receive it. All right? You've got to actually receive it. Tonight, my wife made dinner, and she made shrimp scampi and pasta with lemon zest and some basil, and it was phenomenal. And my son got it in the form of chicken nuggets because he doesn't like pasta and shrimp scampi. So he got chicken nuggets to eat. Now, the crazy thing is he really likes chicken nuggets. But when the chicken nuggets came, he didn't want chicken nuggets. He instead saw the bread on the other side, and he said, "Dad, I want all..." This is Braden, not Austin. "I want all the bread." And then so I got him a roll and I put butter on it. And I don't know what it is. The people in our family are weird. My son, Braden, I think if you gave him a stick of butter, he would eat it like a lollipop all day long. So I put butter on it, and because the roll's hot, it melts. And he goes, "You didn't put butter on my roll." And I said, "Yes, I did." He goes, "But I can't see it." And I said, "It's there." He just wanted what he wanted to eat rather than receiving the way that he needed to receive it. So what I'm simply telling you is you could put a whole meal before you, but until you eat it, it doesn't do you any good. You can have I could have that shrimp scampi sit there and I can smell it and go, "Man, that smells really good. I think I'll just sit here and look at it." And I would starve to death unless I received it. Did you know the soul's no different? You get served a hot meal Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night every week of the year from this pulpit. You have a hot meal waiting for you every time you open this Bible every single day, but you cannot receive it unless you desire it. You've got to pick up the fork. You've got to put it in your mouth. Rather, you've got to put it in your heart. And that's what he's speaking of here. The Bible says the wise heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. What's a prating fool? The prating fool is the one that pretends to receive it. They're the one that sits in church, that has the look on their face because they really don't want people to think that there's anything wrong with them because they haven't had the devotions in 6 weeks. And the next thing you know, they've left church. Why? Because their heart went bad. Why? Because they never feed it. They starve to death. Why? Because they're eating everything else. Maybe they don't desire that which is eternal. They're waiting for their day to come. I'm just simply saying, he that refuseth instruction, the Bible says, despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. I've got to take it however God wants to cook it for me. And I may not like what he's serving that night or that day or that morning, but if I want to live and have a desire for the eternal, I've got to take it. I've got to receive it. Secondly, I've got to respond to it. Just as your body assimilates the necessary nutrients from the physical food, your soul knows what to do with God's Word if you'll just take it. If you'll just give it and if you'll just follow it. The Bible says, watch this, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Scorner is the one that says, this is not true, it's not true for me, I don't want it, you can get away from me. But the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. What is that? That's response. The responding to the Word of God is, okay, Lord, I've looked into the mirror of the glass of your Word. I've noticed that there's some areas in my life that need cleaning up. So now, not only am I going to be a hearer of the Word, but if you'll study the passage in James, it doesn't say a doer of the Word. The end of the passage says a doer of the work. That's a totally different word. A doer of the work and a doer of the Word. We say you shouldn't be hearers of the Word only, but doers. That's true. But study the passage. You'll see the word work. That's what it's called. Responding to the spiritual side of our life and responding to the Word of God is work, isn't it? Nobody really likes to go to work. We like to play. We like to go to Disneyland. We like to go to, we like to do all kinds of other things rather than work. God says, I need you to understand something. I need you to understand a principle. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. I want you to have a desire for that which is going to make you more pleasing to me. So, if you have a desire for the eternal, that means that you're willing to receive it and you're going to respond to it. But think about this. We receive the food, our body responds to the food, and then what do? We repeat it. That's what the third step is. Letter C is repeat. I love the fact that I get to eat at least three times a day. I like it when I travel from the east to the west because if I travel over a meal, I get to eat again. So I get like four meals a day, right, John? You look forward to that. Eat dinner in Chicago, fly here to eat dinner again. And that's awesome. And if you get snacks in between, that's great. But think about it. What are you doing? You're just repeating the process. Now wait a minute. Watch this. By the way, I love what Brother Sam said. The average American, the average person is going to gain like 18 pounds sometimes between Thanksgiving and the first of the year. I said that to our insurance guy today, and he was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. If we snacked spiritually on real soul food, like we snack on Cheetos and whatever your favorite trigger food is, popcorn, if we ate this three times a day, what would that do for your spirit? What would you be like spiritually if you just ate it once a day? Look, I'm for going to church. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be. I'm for sitting in the pew. I'm for listening to preaching. I'm for reading my Bible. But I wonder if it's just because... Yeah, I said this. That video was really done well on Sunday night. And I believe that that book is the Word of God. I just do. I don't have any problems with that. As I was talking with my family after on Sunday night, do you know why most Christians, when I say most Christians, I don't mean Christians like here, I mean Christians that are non-denominational Christians, non-denominational. You know why they don't really have a problem with all the other versions of the Bible? Do you know why? Because they don't read it. They don't know how much stuff has been omitted. They don't know all the changes. They don't know what doctrine's missing. To them, listen, it's not that big of a deal. Why? Because they really don't read their Bible anyway. And when they do, they want to read something that's just easier to read. Well, if it's easier to read and easier to understand, why aren't they more holy? Why aren't they living more like Christ? I'm just simply saying that the fact of the matter is we need to get back to this necessary staple that God has given to us in the pure, undefiled, precious gift of His Word. This book of the law, God says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Therein shall they make thy way prosperous, and therein thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8. Someone said, to send material to the long-term segment of the brain, repetition and drill are very important. If you review any given bit of information for as long as 60 minutes, even over the course of a few days, that material will register almost indefinitely in your mind. Janelle Azevedo. How many know who Janelle Azevedo is? She's, I think, 90. She's got to be close to 95, maybe 97. She came Sunday night because she had someone drive her. She came out to me in the hallway, and she said, "Pastor, thank you for showing that." She said, "I'm getting ready. I'm 120 pages away from reading my Bible through for the second time this year." I was in tears. I said, "Janelle, thank you for telling me that." I said, "That's an amazing testimony to me." I held on to that for a few days, and I thought, and here's a woman who probably could look at all of us, and it would be okay with us if we thought, you know, that woman doesn't need to read her Bible all the way through. She said, "Pastor, I was so excited when I was almost done with it." She said, "The first time through, I did like you said. I did the Old Testament, a little bit of the Old, and a little bit of the New. And it was great." And she's talking to me like, you know, she's getting ready to win the lottery. And it was great. She said, "Then I did something really fun." She said, "Then I read the New Testament first, all through. Then I went back to the Old Testament. And now I'm only 120 pages from finishing the Old Testament." I'm just sitting there looking at this woman who had a desire for the eternal. She had a heart for the Word of God. And I saw it. Her soul speaks of it. If you've ever spent any time around her, I've never seen her cross. I've never seen her grumpy. I've never seen her critical. I have always seen her nothing short of sweet and very spiritual. Always. Why? She's in the book. God has control of her heart. She has hidden the words in her heart so she wouldn't be cranky. Desire for the eternal. Now let me go on. If you have a desire for the eternal, according to this verse, you're going to discover the beneficial. Look at verse 8. "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." Now, think about this just for a minute. If I desire what God has in the Bible, according to Scripture, if I'm willing to keep it, that word "keep" has a special meaning I'm going to talk about on the third round, but part of the meaning is to guard or to obtain. If I'm willing to hold on to that, the Bible says that I will discover, shall find, and it's the promise. The natural response, the natural result, the outcome of what I find in my life is good. Now, when I first thought that, I thought, man, I wonder how much good we actually find on a daily basis. I mean, we see a lot of bad, and we hear a lot of bad. I watched the news for about 10 minutes the other night, and I almost had a conniption. I had to turn it off. It's just horrific. You can see an awful lot of bad. But according to this verse, the Bible says, "He that keepeth understanding," that is in his heart, that's the word wisdom, "shall find good." Now, I wonder what good we would find if we just subjected ourselves to the eternal promises of the Word of God. So I did a quick search. Now, I'm going to read these very quickly, all right? But I want you to hear the good that you find when you not only obtain wisdom, but you keep it in your heart. That is, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin." Okay? That would be bad. So, the good, the Bible says, shall find good. So, I wrote this down. It's a good thing to be saved. Amen. It's a good thing to be saved. The Bible says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." I thought, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 11:30 that it's good to save others. Now, we would say, "Well, Pastor, we don't do the saving." Paul said, "I am all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." If we would agree that the Holy Spirit is the real soul winner, then we are just the ones that he uses. Okay? Well, the Bible does say, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." That's a good thing. Telling someone about Christ, having them find the Lord Jesus and repenting and being saved. To increase wisdom is a good thing. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. To depart from evil, what you would consider a good thing. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. To turn away from wrath would be a good thing. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away from wrath. These are the good things that you find when you get wisdom and you keep understanding. To hold your tongue, many would say, "Well, yeah, I'd like to be able to do that." Well, the Bible says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. That's a good thing. By the way, remember this. When you think, well, you know, the Bible says that the tongue is an unruly evil and no man can tame it. I want you to understand that's what it says. But did you know two chapters before it says to do it? God says to do it. It's a command in James chapter 2. He says to bridle your tongue. But you don't get to do it. God does it in you. That's the spiritual side of your life. That's what happens. You control your tongue. By the way, another good thing, how many would say it's a good thing to trust the Lord with all your heart? How many would say that? Just so happens the Bible speaks to that. The Bible says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. How many would say it's a good thing to have provision, for God's provision to be on your life and in your home? How many would say it's a good thing? Okay. The Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it out. What's that doing? It's talking about stewardship. Where do you learn stewardship? In the Word of God. Everything that I need to have to find good, God says, I have provided for you, but you have to desire it. If you desire it and you go after it as searching for hid treasure and for buried gold, verily thou shalt find it, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verily thou shalt dwell in the land. So you'll find good. Now I want you to understand, everything I read, letter A, is the good life. That's what it is. The good life. The good life is trusting the Lord. The good life is God providing for you. The good life is when the Spirit of God says, don't say that, and you hold your tongue. The good life is when you are willing to fear God and depart from evil. The good life is to increase in wisdom no matter how it comes to you, in rebuke or reproof or exhortation. The good life is to lead people to Christ. Yea, and it is to be saved. That's all of the good life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Listen, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Doesn't matter where you turn. Your spirit is settled in Christ. Your spirit has a desire for that which is eternal, and you're feeding daily. It does not matter what comes into your life, because all things work together for, help me, good. That's the good life. Letter B, this is then the blessed life. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Can we say that out loud? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Look down in your notes. It's there. Read it with me. A faithful man shall, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I'm just simply saying, God said, look, I've got food that you know not of. In fact, Jesus said that. I have meat to eat that you know not of. All of us in this room know the meat that God has prepared for us. We know it. The question is, are we willing to go get it? The Bible says if we're willing to go get it, we're going to discover the beneficial. Thirdly, then, I want you to see the decision for spiritual augmentation. The word keepeth means to guard. It also means to heed, but it also means to treasure up. Now, to augment means to add to. Incrementally. That is, not to take away from that which you have, but to take that which you have and add to it. To augment means to add to whatever you have and continually add to it. The process of augmentation is to be augmenting, to continually add to. Every day, my faith requires it be nourished by God's food for the soul. Every day. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Necessary it is then to continue my spiritual growth. My daily intake will be according, listen, to what I love. Let's go back. Look at verse 8 in Proverbs 19. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own what? Soul. That is not speaking about the physical desires of life. It's not talking about I need more rest, I need more food, I need this, I need that. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the intake. My intake will be according to what I love or desire the most. So listen, every decision for God is a result of our willingness to receive from the Lord. Now listen, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:5, and beside this, speaking of our salvation, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. The word virtue means moral goodness. It means a heart of truth. And to virtue, knowledge. Now, the greatest knowledge is the knowledge of God. The knowledge that Jesus said, Jesus said in John, that they might know you, the one and only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. That's the greatest knowledge ever. The greatest knowledge ever is to know that not only is there a God, but to know that He is so loving and He is so good and He is so merciful that He did send Jesus, the only Savior, to this earth to die for our sins. That is the greatest knowledge a human being can obtain. I was perusing last night and I was watching this thing about Darwin and the Galapagos Islands and how he was noticing all the species of wrens and how this whole concoction of origin of species came because there was apparently on the earth two finches that evolved, and all of a sudden we have all these variations of finches. The problem was he didn't talk about the variation between the finch and the guy. None of that's going on anywhere. Anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that. It drives me crazy. Stuff comes in my mind, it goes right out so fast, I don't even know why it's there. I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, knowledge. That we can read books and we can do all that kind of stuff. But look, nothing matters more than God's mind for you. Nothing. Nothing. Now, look, the fact is all of our kids, all of our teenagers would be like, well, I wish you'd tell my teachers that because I could save some time than going to school. I just read my Bible all day long. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't do that. Nobody would. Because we don't already with the time that we have. Okay? Now watch. I said, every decision for God is a result of our willingness to receive from the Lord. Every decision for God is a decision for growth and is a response of will. Now we have about 8 minutes and I want to ask you guys for some help, okay? I'm going to give out verses and I want you to look them up as individuals and then I want to have you read them with your best out loud voice, okay? So I'm going to give some verses out and I want to give them out. I want you to be ready for me, okay? Steve Keen, back there, I want you to get Psalms 5:7. Okay? Buff, can you do 13:6? These are all Psalms. Can you do 13:6? Okay? Let's see. John Matthew, can you do 18:1 for me? Can you do that? Crawford, can you do 27:4? Brother Bishop, can you do Psalms 66:16 and 55:16? Can you do both of those back to back? Randy Monteghetti, can you do 26:11? Maddie, can you do 77:10 for me? Let's see. George, can you do 86:11? Steve Banach, 101 verses 2 through 4. And Darren, I want you to do Psalm 119:47. Now, don't ask me what I told you because I don't remember what. All I remember is Steve got 5:7. Okay, I want everybody to turn. Make sure you have it because I don't want you to miss what all these other folks are going to say, all right? And remember what I said. Every decision for God is a result of will. Did you hear me? It's a result of will, all right? So, I want to read these in succession. Psalm 5:7, in your best out loud voice, hit it, Steve. Okay, I will. And I want you to put an emphasis on I will when you read the verses, okay? So read the first half of that verse and just emphasize I will when you go by it, okay? Just the first half.
But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy.
Okay, 13:6.
I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
Dealt bountifully with me. That's a great verse. 18:1. Through desire, okay? 27:4. Did I give that to somebody?
One thing that I desired of the Lord, that I will seek out, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
Okay, did you hear that? He said, the one thing I desire and I will. Brother Bishop, 66:16 and 55:16. Okay, did you hear that? I will declare what he hath done for my soul. You know what that's talking about? Salvation. He saved me. Read the beginning again and then and read that in.
Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul.
Amen. Now go to 55:16.
As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me.
Start over and emphasize I will. Does that sound familiar? As for me and my house? Okay. Did I give 26:11 away?
Yeah.
Okay.
But as for me, I will walk in my integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me.
I will walk in my integrity. 77:10.
And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High.
Ah, this is my infirmity, but I will remember. I love that. What's the next one I give? 86:11? Did I give that?
Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
Amen. Steve? Psalm 101, 2 through 4, right?
Yes.
Read these very slow and emphasize I will. I will, and I will not. And Psalm 119:47, Darren.
And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved.
That's the Word of God.
Yeah.
Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. I will delight myself. What is it? Every decision for God is a decision of my will. All right? Now, these decisions need to be made twofold, and we're done. First of all, they need to be made daily. Daily. Oswald Chambers said, God is not with our natural life while we pamper it. But when we put it out in the desert and resolutely keep it under, then God will be with it. And he will open up wells and oases and fill all his promises for the natural. Do you understand? When I give myself over to the desire for the spiritual, God takes care of the natural. That's what he's saying. I was afflicted, but I will remember. That's what he's saying. All that God does for us spiritual is so that we will trust him with the temporal. Our life is spent pampering our natural flesh. And God says, I want you to turn a new corner. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. No man ever hateth his own soul, but loveth and cherisheth it. That's in Ephesians 5 when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now watch, the decision of your will needs to be made daily so that you can daily discover the good that God has for you. Secondly, those decisions need to be directed in one way, that is to please God. The decisions you make. At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, when you get ready to make a decision, do I want to please God or not? Am I pleasing God or not in what I just decided to do and where I just decided to go and what I just decided to say? Long before that, in a nanosecond, is this going to please to God? By the way, that's how you hold your tongue. Look down at verse 11. It's right here. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it's his glory to pass over transgression. That is impossible, my friend, if it's not getting and holding on to understanding. It's impossible. You'll never control your mouth. You'll never control your spirit. You'll always have a lazy come-by-whenever attitude in your spiritual life if you don't seize it, if you don't develop that desire. Every day, the Bible says, I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. That is what pleases God. Proverbs 19, in verse 8. Can we read that verse out loud together? Proverbs 19:8. Ready? Begin. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. How much good are you finding in your life? If you're not finding much, then it must be because your soul is starving to death. And if your soul is starving, it's probably due to the wrong kind of diet. Soul food. God is the only one that has truly provided what soul food actually is. We just need to receive it. We need to respond to it. And we get to repeat it every day. Father, we sure love you and we thank you.